Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look at the issues today and discuss them to see how we can come up with possible solutions to some of the most important things that affect our daily lives. This is your co-host, Henry Haseeb, and we should have Dr. Jamal joining us just shortly here. But our subject today is going to be Facebook is a clear indicator our values, what important to our human, to our individual family and community lives. And we want to examine to see how does Facebook, one of many ways that we are getting information today, especially our young people there, you know, we look at Facebook, and we believe a lot of times what's on here, and they got many different ways of communicating to our young people. One of the things I thought of there was how we have come in the distance that we have come to get to where we are today. You know, I don't know if any of us really remember the Pony Express was one of the ways of communicating, and that was if you wanted to get a message to someone here, and I'm not going way back where we used the birds. There are the eagles and things like this to communicate to carry. But we remember the old Pony Express and then the stagecoach. And sometime it would take maybe 30 days or so to get a message to a person. And then we moved on up and and as time went by, we bought a more modern way. You know, if we were going to communicate with China, areas in the far distance of the world, then, you know, it may take 2 or 3 months. But now everything seemed to be instant. And this is what we're beginning. We are saying everybody want it right now. So communication, Facebook, and all of the things that it do, we can get it instantly. And a lot of times these things that we get on there, especially the ones who work with Facebook and these other type of programs that they got out here, they say something or do something that makes something go viral. We just recently had an incident here in Alabama here of a kidnapping, and now they're investigating it to see if it was just a hoax to cause a reaction like this for something to go viral. And from what I understand, it did go viral. I don't know, was it on Facebook or another type of communication here. But this is what we have to deal with in the here and the now. There. So things, we know where they were, and I don't believe they'll ever be going back to where they were, to the Pony Express and those type of ways of communicating to do that. You know, they speeded up things a little bit when they came up with the wire tap, and they would tap the code in, and the other end would pick it up. But we, you know, our children, especially the young folks, they don't know anything about that type of communication. They have cell phones and watch phones even. I mean, where you're talking to your watch. And I remember when we were coming up, they had shows like in the space age where they were communicating like that. But it was so far-fetched then, you know, you didn't take it serious. And now, the here and now, we have, we've come into that age where you can talk on the phone. And from what I understand, even with that, they will have a glass. If you wear eyeglasses, you'll be able to talk through your eyeglasses. It'll be that small of a device that's on there that you'll be able to talk if they don't already have it. You know, we're still seeing these things on TV where they're communicating like this. Well, we're going to take a break right here, and we'll see if we can get Dr. Jamal, and we'll be right back.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Okay, we're back here where we're talking about the Facebook, and Facebook is being one of the many ways of communicating. You know, they got everything out here now. I don't use personally Facebook a whole lot if I'm searching for something or looking for something in particular. And now even we have masjids and imams that are doing their Juma on the Facebook. And we know anything, as Dr. Rashid always say, there's a duality in it, that if it's good in it, then you'll find the opposite of bad. And people will take the good that it could be used for, and they'll begin to use it for something bad. So that's why we always warn parents and things that they should look into what their children are looking at, because a lot of times, and I've also heard in the past, it's where children commit suicide and all of these things by stuff that they pick up over this new communication method, whether it's Facebook or any of the other methods that they have out here. I think they got Twitter, YouTube. They got so many different ones, and it looks like every day a new one is coming up. So it's kind of hard to keep up with there sometimes. But we do have to be aware of what's out here to as we say, the here and the now, as to what our children will be facing, because they're facing a different situation than what we were facing, you know. Some of us remember when they first came out with what they call cell phone, and that cell phone looked like you had to have a backpack on it to be able to make those calls. And to nowadays, like we say, you can talk even through a watch, a wristwatch that's on your arm there. That's how small that communication system has become. And it's probably going to even get smaller in the future. So things are constantly changing, and we have to keep up with these changes the best we could. And I know that a lot of times that things are changing so fast. I know they are for me, that, hey, when you come back, then it will do something. I heard something on from this radio thing and said 90 seconds, so I don't know what that's talking about. Hopefully it's not the time that's going to cut us off, because I know it did have a little problem this morning. Our brother Adam internet was out, and I'm hoping that didn't affect this program here, in that he did get some stuff set up there, but we definitely want to look into that. We're going to go to another brief break here, PSA, and we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we got that problem situated there. Thank Allah for people who support the AM 360 thing and that they tune in to the broadcasters here. So sometimes we have a little problem there. We're able to get it corrected then. But we do have to be aware, you know, of these things and know what our children, especially, because a lot of times I talk to older people, and when it comes to things like Facebook and stuff, and some, I talk to some that even refuse, they don't even want to know, and don't tell them about it. They're comfortable in the zone that they're in, and they don't want anything any different. I do have some friends that is still into the cell phone business, but all they do is talk, and they can halfway text. And that's all they're interested. They don't want to know about anything else, so you can't even convince them. So we know we got these type of people out here, but the majority of the young people, they got a whole different way of communicating. And as we said, as well as good that it couldn't be used for, I hear our imams and all a lot of times will call a Google shake. Google, you know, because you can find so much information is right at your fingertip. All you got to do is ask for it. So it's a lot of good that these things can bring about. But also there's devious minds that always trying to take the human being off of the natural path or the natural track that God wants the human being to be in and created the human being for. So a lot of times people are tuning in and things are coming at them, and they take it as being real, and the next thing you know, they in a bunch of trouble. There's even scams that is happening to especially some of the elderly people that some of these scams are targeted at, and they lose sometimes their whole fortune in just a day or so. I mean, everything they've saved up for their whole life. We just recently had one here in Alabama, and I think it was even in the city of Mobile here, where an elderly gentleman was targeted and answered the scheme, and they told him he had won all this money. And, you know, here in America, getting something for nothing is very, very popular. Everybody wants to take advantage of the something for nothing. And and a lot of times I find that that people like this that get scammed, they're the very ones that will talk about people that's in need, that's getting welfare, EBT, food stamps, and things like this. They'll be the one that criticize them, but to show they want something for nothing, they end up losing their whole fortune, which is a misfortune. But these modern ways of communicating and getting information, because that's what it's all about, getting information, and a person believing what they read or what they see, because they make it sound so realistic there. But this case, from what I understand, was a case of a senior, retired senior, and I believe the gentleman may have been in his 70s, and they told him he had won all of this money, but he had to pay the tax. And there, and they end up, the tax ended up being what the money that he sent him was over $400,000, which was his life savings to get this $10 million or whatever they promised him there. And of course, it was a scam that was done right over the internet, right over his telephone, that he lost his whole life fortune. So there's good, but there's a lot of bad too, and they make it sound so real there. So there is a warning that goes with getting into these things that you have to really be careful, because now it's hard to tell the good from the bad there. I had a friend tell me, said, do you know the definition between a professional and a scam artist? And I said, no, well, what would be the definition? He said, intent. Say, the scam artists use the same presentation that a professional used, but the intent is different. The professional has an intent of serving the people that his message is intended for, and the scam artist has got a message to take away from the people that his message is intended for. I thought that was real interesting. But they use the same presentation. They're going to be professional in the presentation that they're doing, and that makes it harder for a lot of individuals to distinguish. I mean, the best of us, I know there's a part that's in the Christian scripture that said that this evil mind, this evil intellect that we call the devil, the Satan, say that it fooled the very elect of God. And, you know, just thinking when you see that word that it was the elect of God, that this is one, that they will be the hardest people to try to fool, especially with the wickedness, if this is a person that's trying to do right, but that's who the devil target. So these things that we see that's going on out here, we have to be so careful, because we don't know if it's true or is it false, and there's so many things that appear to be truth that is false. So we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to invite our listeners to press 1 on your phone. And if you've had any experiences, can share information with us on this subject of this communication, Facebook and other things that maybe you have run into or know someone who have been victimized by some of these things, or even a positive way in how to use it. So we're going to talk about the duality, see about those when we come back. And we'll be right back after this brief break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zaprita Hadi, director of the MCNRD, Modern Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month. 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm Resident Imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in LSLaw. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
All Okay, we're back, and we invite you to press 1 on your phone if you have a question or a comment on this this new communication method that we're talking about, Facebook and others there. We do have a caller in queue here. We're going to bring them in. Area code 914-434. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif. Yeah, Brother Henry, you hit on a lot of things in this opening this morning. I mean, you covered a lot of ground. This is why I call this
and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Just the tip of the iceberg, huh? All right. I know you're speaking about technology. When you mentioned that two-way communication, I remember I was thinking way back growing up, Dick Tracy. Remember Dick Tracy? Was it a communication?
Yes, I do.
A two-way wrist radio phone that he had. Back.
Right,
that was
exactly.
Nice. In the early 50s. So, I mean, this technology has been out there a long time. I mean, they're just bringing it to the public recently. And it's been out there for the last 50 years. And on the other
and
end,
it's constantly
about,
changing.
Constantly changing. It's very difficult to keep up with it. I mean, yes, you got to really be sharp and keep up with the change. It's happening so fast, you know. And shake Google. That's how they can get you mixed up with that slick talk and all of that. Man's doing that lecture, Zuma thing on Facebook. And how they got calling this a few years ago, Shake Google. Now, Shake is basically referring to a Muslim leader. And Google is coming out of, I would say, non-Muslim mind. Shake Google. Who started that? That started among us. Why did you say Google? Say Google. See how we can get caught up in stuff like that and not even aware of it.
Yep. You're right, and as we said, Muhammad, just earlier, that there's good. But there's also it's got that duality, and I guess we that's a lot of times where we get off course. We look at the good, like I was giving that example of here's an elderly person, I'm sure, and then they try to feed that appetite, you know, a lot of other appetites that we hadn't talked about yet, you know, because right now. They're using the social media to introduce people to each other. There's people getting married getting a relationship that starts over the social media, whereas you remember when we needed and wanted relationship, a lot of times when I was coming, they used to tell you, well, if you wanted to find somebody good, where you had to go. That you didn't go to the club to find them. You went to the club was the bad. And even though that wasn't 100% truth, you probably could have met somebody there because they both had a human being. But say you need to go to the church. And we know you could find some good people there, but there was also some bad ones. So that is that duality that's in all of this that you have to be careful of, and you can't put, as they say, all of your eggs in one basket. But it is a greater potential to do that. But now they don't go to church or go to the masjid to meet. They get on Facebook and social media, and they express what their emotions are, what they want. And a lot of times I've seen people even get married from meeting their spouse on these different type of medias. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that is something, isn't it?
That really is.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you said about the intent. It's got to be intent. Mm-hmm. You know, for everything you get ready to do something, make your intent to be right. That's the only thing that mm-hmm. always protect you and your intention.
Right.
It's all
mm-hmm.
right. Intent. What's intent? Yeah, I went on
right.
online while we were talking. I went on Big Tracy and a two-way radio, and it's still there now. You can see that Big Tracy talking. Just to anyone,
yep.
I'm talking about the younger people now. Oh, this is back in the 50s. Just go
right.
on the phone now, Big Tracy, and you'll see how long that technology's been out there.
Oh yeah, it's been out a while. It definitely has been out, and like I say, it's steady. It hadn't stopped. We got to know that we're in an evolving world. So you got to keep up with what's going on, or you get left so far behind. It's just like computers. When computers was coming out with the DOS system. Probably our young folks don't know what the DOS system is, but they had the DOS 3.0 and all the way to 6 and different things. I could work the computers. I could program, but now I can't even attempt with this, the way they got things, not to even troubleshoot anything, because it didn't change and they left me behind in the change. But we got to be aware that our children, they are facing this and learning this, you know, every day. So we need to be aware of what is going on with them in there. Well, Brother Muhammad, if you want to hold on a minute, we do have another caller, and I'm going to bring them in. And but you don't have to hang up, and because I know we're a long way from finishing this conversation. But let me bring in the next caller here. We have area code 727. 741. Welcome to the program, and state your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you very much. Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. Imam Henry Hasib and Muhammad Sharif and all the listeners, greetings of peace and month of Muharram, first month on the Hijri calendar. Greetings to everyone on behalf of CWSC, especially Community-wide Shura Conference. And my comments in reference to the conversation, yes, I'm going to go straight to the three areas, I think it's three, that if we're following Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, or just studying Prophet Muhammad's life and recognizing how to meet and greet someone, or how to get to know someone. I know to socialize, to, I guess it says, dine with them or work with them and travel with them. And so in mm-hmm. our days of coming up, our travel was back and forth to the church. You're right. But we got to know one another and inviting them over to to our home or just congregational stuff that occurred. And then working with them, you know, even in our days, going to the bean field. You got to know the practice of the person, and they got to know you. We got to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was a fit for marriage or for at least being able to communicate that particular interest, then that space was there for that. Your other guardians were always around. Praise be to Almighty God. Unless you sought some, and I'm going to say it this way, some devilishness. So I'll stop right there. Thank
mm-hmm.
you so very much. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. And one thing that they do now, you know, on these Facebooks and these other social media that they do, is they'll put their picture on there. And I know the law enforcement that's been trying to catch these sex predators, because they have a picture on there of maybe a very nice looking person there, and depending on who they're trying to catch, a man or woman or whatever, you know, boy or girl, in there, and they get on there and they think they're talking to that person that they see picture, but actually they're talking to somebody else that's totally like that, that they may not even like. And a lot of times, the sad part is that our children have failed victims to some of these things by being lured there, and then the person that they think they're going to meet is a whole different person. So they're looking for that person they saw in the picture, and they end up finding somebody else, and sometimes we have tragic ends. So it can be a dangerous situation there, but nevertheless, it is a form of communicating today, and it is a form of being socially interactive right over the internet through these different programs. So, and that's why we wanted to talk about this today, because it's real. And every day somebody is either a benefit or being taken by it. And the sad part about it is we usually hear the stories of somebody who's being taken by it. And usually it's a tragic end, just like the example that happened here in Mobile, where they contacted the elderly gentleman telling him he's won all this money, but he has to pay the tax on it, and they can't take the tax out of the money, and he ended up taking, I understand, over $400,000 out of two of his retirements, and he's broke. A life saving gone in a day or so. So we do have to be aware of those. But we do appreciate your call, Sister, well, there, and that is good information.
Thank you so very much, Imam Henry Hatib. And to everyone, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Muhammad, we're back with you there on the conversation. I just wanted to get that caller out. And any other callers, if you got a comment, you even got an experience that you know about, here, do press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you into the queue here.
Yeah, it happened to me when I was a teenager. First came to New York.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, from Montgomery, Alabama, you know, and it's a big city, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to, yeah, I think I was, well, 17 years old, right? And my mother had given me some money to go, I believe, to go up to buy an overcoat, because I had this small light coat when I came to New York, and it was cold. That wouldn't do it, that little coat I had. So anyway, while I was waiting for the bus, like I said, 17, this guy comes and started talking to me about a flim-flam, but I had nothing about this flim-flam. Talking about he had
this
money.
Yeah. I remember those too, yeah. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The three card Molly and all of that stuff too. Yep. I do, and that was, you could easily be taken by these flim flam, because we know, especially now in studying Islam, that the human being was created to be good, but he was given choices, you know, unlike, you know, some other religion who says that the human being was created as a bad or as a sinful person. We don't believe that. But they will take good people, because everybody's looking for a deal. You know, I want a deal. I don't want to take advantage of people, but if I can buy something and buy it a little bit cheaper than I normally would pay for it, then hey, yeah, I would buy it. And that's what the flim flammers and the scam artists is. Those are the things. They're always giving you a deal. So yeah. I remember the flim flam. But hold on just a minute, Muhammad. I think we got a Sister Martha again. Hold on just a second.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. No problem. Yeah, we want to hear from you.
Okay, three things. My mother was called and by someone who said they could tell your not your history.
Fortune?
Your future.
Okay.
And then, so as they say, they asked my mother one question. They said, what's your birthday? Well, she said, well, you call me and you're the fortune teller. You tell me what it is.
Right, exactly.
Oh, so they hung up.
They use these psychologists on you, and then if you're not really aware, you will be already answered the question. Then they'll come back and tell it, and you think they're just amazing.
Exactly. And then the next thing is a person calling me about my account, and unknowingly I'm in the thrall of everything, giving them my information, and all of a sudden I caught on. And I called my bank and stopped everything. But this person was calling from an Asian country. And then they called me back and said, did you go and complete the thing, like you say, at the store and get this here monies, and you can call and give them the number on the card. And I thought about this thing, and they asked me. Then they tried to get me to say yes. And I had already been taught about that. So they said, do you know your pet's name? Do you know your email? Kept trying to ask me certain questions where you
right.
say yes. So I wound up saying, I know what you want me to say. I'm hanging up. But the third thing is $500 was taken from me with persons physically with me and telling me a story, asking me about a zip code number. Did I know it on the envelope before I could answer? Somebody else showed up, a male, and the female asked me the question. And the whole scenario ended up with them in the car and telling me I had to go inside and prove I had money. But my $500 in an envelope, and the young man said, I got it, ma'am. I have it for you. It dropped from the young lady. And long story short, they took off with that $500. And I said,
right.
That stopped them from hitting somebody in the head. Praise be to Almighty God. I said, I don't need money. I work for a life. But alhamdulillah. But there was one more scenario where I was 21, and at the mall, somebody on lunch break, they said, do you have a bank account? This was back in the early 70s. You have a bank account? I said, yes. And then I said, if we have this money, and they were from Africa, some African country, but they say they didn't want to lose their money and somebody steal it. They wanted to put it into my account, and then when they needed it back, they'll ask me for it. I said, well, I was so naive. I said, well, in the store right here, my manager, I can ask him if you can put your money in our safe. I went in to ask the manager. I come back out. They were gone.
Wow. Yeah,
and
that's plenty other stories like that too. I was thinking some on as you do it, and that's what people have to be aware of, because you want to help people that if you can, and especially if it don't look like it's costing you nothing to help them, but a lot of times their intent is to take you. And a lot of times if the situation presents itself, if they don't get what they want and you begin to see them, then they're going to try to cover up the crime that they're doing. I made a statement, matter of fact, just the other day again. I say, if you lie, if a circumstance presents itself, you will steal. Because, people say, no, I lie, but I ain't going to steal. But if the circumstance presents itself, you'll steal. And if you steal, if the circumstance presents itself, you'll kill. So you can't tell what stage they may go to hide the crime that they're trying to commit. And like I said, we usually talk about, because this is what we hear more about the crime. That's the way the news report things. They don't tell us the good things or how to avoid these things. They wait till after they happen, then they report them that they're happening. But too many times people are being taken for this. They got all kinds. I had the last one I dealt with here maybe about a month ago. It seems so real because it was right in with what we bought. So I had some partners in a business deal, and we bought a piece of equipment there. So we get a letter, and they send it to each three of us there that they able to pick up on the state records that that we bought this piece of equipment, and they asked each of us for $99. And I really, I didn't know the others had got it until I called them to tell them what was going on. But they each had got a letter, too. And they just wanted $99, and it seemed so real. I mean, so I because I say, now, wait a minute. I thought the people who sold us the machine is responsible for the filing, because they say send them the $99, and that would cover the filing fee to file this thing. So I called the state, and as soon as I went to tell her, she said, no, don't send nothing. I hope you haven't sent anything, because that's a scam. But it was so real, because it fit right into the situation. We just got the piece. We know it had to get an ICC, but and the only thing that stopped it, the reason we didn't send the money, because I said, well, the seller's supposed to file that, which is still correct, but it was sending it to the buyers. And $99, you hit three of us for that, we don't think nothing of it. $300 gone. So they if it sounds too good to be true, we know it's not true. But we have to be aware that even sometimes you cannot detect it. Like I say, the only difference between a professional and a scam artist is intent. Because usually the scam artist thing is probably more perfected than the professional. So we have to be aware of that. But so too much of that has taken place and is taking place over these things like Facebook and all the other ways. You know, there are a lot of times you'll get so many of them through a message there that they'll send you this stuff here. And they use so many different things to... people are being taken. So I do appreciate you sharing those things with us, and hopefully somebody will pick up on that and maybe prevent them. Because a lot of times stuff like this happens, you're too ashamed to even tell anybody. How could you fall for it? And some of the scam artists tell you, hey, we're going to do this, but you can't tell anybody else what we're doing. So they got all kinds of tricks out here that they will put on you. So be aware of
well,
it.
Last
so
thing, I apologize. Last thing I want to say,
go right
in reference
ahead.
To the thing you're saying about social media, and two, if you're watching and there are certain things that pop up, not actually the Facebook things, but those pop-ups on the side, that if you try to click it off, and it doesn't give you an option to click off right away, you don't see that faint X, and you wind up clicking and you open it up, and then it leads you one thing to another, and before you know it, it only gives you a choice of continue or something, and so I don't know. I wind up turning my computer off and turn it back on. In that case,
I have been there too, and usually that's a good sign that it's a scam there. But it's wanting you to do something that is not your choice to do. It's going to force you into something. And nowadays, the new ways of these things with Facebook, if you even watching something on Facebook, every few minutes you got a advertising piece. And like you say, it will give you a choice of whether to click on it or not. But you have to watch so many seconds of that thing even before you can click on it. And if you click the wrong thing, then you didn't left whatever you was trying to watch into that thing. All of that's out here, and we need to be aware of it. So we definitely appreciate you bringing that. But there's so much more that we can talk about on that,
yes,
too.
Thank you so much. Yes,
thank
definitely
you.
With the uploading something, you think you're uploading what you press to upload, and another fictitious one has covered that. and you hit upload on that, and it begins to unfold your files. So, yes, thank you so very much.
Yeah, right, and we appreciate that call. Alhamdulillah. All right, Brother Muhammad, we are back with you here. Covered a whole lot there, and it's happening. These are real things that's happening. People are losing money. We are losing billions and billions of dollars in these scam things here. And a lot of times, one of the things a sister said, she was saying it appeared to be a African thing sometimes, but a lot of times they right here in the U.S. because now you can get a number to anywhere. If I want a number to an African country, a French country, anywhere in the world, I can get a number, and it will ring right here to my house. And you think you're talking to a Frenchman that's in France, and you're talking to somebody maybe down the street from you.
Right.
So it's definitely happening. But we have to keep each other informed on what is happening, even if some of the bad things that sometimes appear to be a little shameful, that you don't want to say, you don't want nobody to know, because you begin to blame yourself. But the thing is, when the money is gone, it is gone, and there is no recovery. So reporting it to the police or the FBI, all of these things. They'll tell you it's nothing they can do. Now, do find out that the IRS, because there's some IRS scams that's going on, that they contact you through whatever method they do. They may say you got a refund that we've been trying to get with you. I get those all the time.
All the time.
And we hadn't been able to do it, so click here and all of this. But they will list them if you get on the IRS site. If you get on the FBI site, they will list some of the more popular scams that they got out here on what people have reported to them. So there are ways to find out. And I suggest before you send your money to anybody that you don't know, that you go ask somebody else about it, and don't give no information. And it's hard sometimes because now you're talking to the people that you need to be talking to that you need to give information from, but you got to check them out thoroughly, because if you do, there, like the sister was saying, you'll go give information innocently, thinking you're giving it, and you give your information out, and this is a scam artist. So I always tell them now, well, I have to call you back. Can I call? No, we'll call you back. Well, that's one of the signs then. No, if I can't call you back, no, you ain't. And then these other people that's on here, and especially they prey on elderly like this, you try to tell them, well, I can't talk right now. They keep talking anyway. They keep going and keep going and keep going. And now they even got these computers that will call you, and then there's a silent that goes, and then they'll come on. And so when I want to play with some of them, which is dangerous, but I'm used to them now, I go silent like they are, and they keep saying, is anybody there? Anybody there? And I don't say anything. I just put my phone on mute and just see how long they're going to go. So finally they'll hang up. But it's sad that we have to deal with this in this age. But as we say, there's a duality, and in this duality, it will make you fall. And the best of us. I mean, we could be victimized. So you're not a bad person if you've been victimized by it. Just know that the intent of the person that victimized you never was good. So, because they like to blame the victim in this society here. Let me bring Sister Martha back in again. She got something else. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Martha.
Yeah. Alaykum as-salam. Yes, one quick thing. The bank, I deposited a large amount, which wasn't 1,000, but it was close to it. And when I did, someone in the bank flagged it as a fraud. It was a check from my patient. It was legit. And I deposited them rather than going to her account to cash it. So when I did that and they did a fraud alert and then they closed my account, and I'm going, I wasn't in the negative. It was very good. What came out was it was over $4,000 that they owed me when they closed the account. So I'm wondering, when are you going to send me my money? When are you going to send me my money? Well, I went through one loop after another through the pandemic time where you couldn't get to see this person. Finally, you know what I did? I used the social media to Bank of America. I went on to Bank of America's Facebook and wrote a letter to them of my complaint, and they were not aware that fraud had been played. I mean, you know, the uppers. So they wound up sending me my money after they contacted me and did a one-on-one and apologized for the situation.
Right. Well, that reminds me of another scam I had associated in my office there. And she said, what is this thing they give you the money each year? They used to give it back in the day. They'd come to your house and you'd be the one. The book, you remember that one? The one that every year they would announce a winner. And it used to be in the Reader's Digest.
Sweepstakes.
Yeah, that little sweepstake, yeah. Well, anyway, they had told her she won a sweepstake. But they can't pay the taxes. But what they're going to do, they're going to send her a check. And she can deposit this check into her account. And matter of fact, she could take $100 out for herself for that. And then spend the rest of the money to them, which was about $2,000. So, but what they do, it's on a real bank account, but it's on somebody else's bank account. And she had convinced me always that this is because she was going to get $18,000, the clearinghouse, whatever that little thing is that they do. And I think they still do it. They just do it a different way now. So she said, yes, she won it, and she's going to give me this money and this and this and this and this and that and that. So anyway, we went to the bank with the check because I kept telling her, you sure? She did. So, and then when she went to deposit it, the bank asked and said, do you know these people? Because if it's a fraud, it's going to come back. The FBI is going to be knocking on your door. Because they don't have the people that doing the fraud with her. They only got her, right? So, and other people have really been scammed by this method here. So she ain't the first, but they sent it out to a lot of folks, and I had to convince her because she you start spending that money before you get it. And she telling her all what she was going to do with the money and da-da-da-da-da-da. And, she wouldn't have got a penny. And then she would have owed the bank that much money because the people, the check was on a trucking firm, and this is supposed to be a thing. We looked at that because she didn't show me the check up until that time because I think she suspects, but anyway. I took her to her house and got the check and took her to the bank, and she's going to put it into her account, and then she's supposed to took the money out and send it to them, and they're going to send her the $18,000. She would have been scammed, and then the trucking company would have reported fraud because they didn't write the check. So it's all kinds of things that's going on out here that's really detrimental to society, and I often think they don't put enough energy in trying to stop these things from happening or making the public aware of it. Yeah. But you're
I
right.
Think you're definitely, yeah, you're correct there. Mm-hmm. Those that authority don't do enough to stop it. That, you know, it seems like they're a part of it too, like getting a kickback, you know?
Right. But we definitely going to have to have a show on our elected officials, I call them our public officials, however they get there, how. A lot of them go there with good intent, you know, what they call campaign promises that's never kept. But once they get there, they already got traps set up for them to buy mm-hmm. them. And when you look at that person after you put them there, they're a totally different person than what you voted for. So that would be another show there added. But we wanted to bring this to the attention there to show how these things, they can be good. They probably was created with good intent, but we see there, this one is called Twitter and all of that. We see how people use that, how to rally up bad things there, but can be used by the same token to rally up good things. Well, we are about out of time here, so we're down to our last 2 minutes, but I do appreciate you all chiming in on this because it's been a good conversation, and we still just have scratched the surface of what it's about. We still just really at the tip, as we said, the iceberg of what need to be discussed. And I pray that no more people get scammed, but I know the reality is somebody's probably getting scammed as we're talking about this subject now, because there's so much. They flood the market with so much. I get 4 or 5 a day myself. And then yes. even if you put on there to stop it, to take it off, they come another way. So it's definitely coming. And I don't even look at them no more because I don't have time. I just go down and delete them. Because if you look at them and you hit the wrong button, you have really there. Mm. And now they got a way that they can take the information that when you hit that thing, it will take the information about whatever you got in your phone, your passcodes and all of that, and they'll have access to all of that. So you have to be careful. But it's been a good program here. I hope it's been very informative for our listeners there. And we will be back next week with another edition of Solution to Critical Issues that affect our daily lives. So we appreciate everybody for chiming in. If you all have pressed 1 on your phone, then we're going to bring up Brother Adam for the next program. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference at American Muslim 360.
I don't know how to bring
Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is our Adam B. out here on Monday Sense on AM360 this Thursday morning. I want to welcome all of you on our program and those that remain online from our previous program with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Hasid. Alhamdulillah. But we're going to open up, before we get started, reading from the Quran. And we've chosen Surah Al-Ankabut, which is the 29th surah of the Quran, the 45th ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim salat. Inna salata tanha anil fakshai wal munkar. ولذكر الله أكبر وله يعلم ما تصنعون صدق الله العظيم. In the translation, I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the accursed, but Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Recite what is sent of the book by inspiration to thee, and establish regular prayer, for prayer restrains from shameful and unjust deeds. And remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, without doubt. And Allah knows the deeds that you do. Then in Sadiq al-Azim, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Wanted to have a discussion on today on our community, the Muslim community, what Allah has given us in the Quran and life, example of our Prophet Muhammad, and in the leadership and guidance that he blessed our community with in Imam W.D. Muhammad, in his example, in his spirit, in his sacrifice that he made for us, for the cause. And one of the things that we should be a focus on us as a community, that I believe, and the man fervently believe, that we are put in a situation in this country for leadership. And that is our role. From a people that were taken from their land, descendants of people that were taken from their land and stripped of everything of importance that the human being needs, and then turned loose in this society under the guise of being free, in leaving it up to our own devices, our own circumstance, to build our human life in America. And now we're still dealing with probably over 160 years, past the time of our emancipation. Emancipation, that's an interesting word, emancipation. You know, we know about it, United States Emancipation Proclamation. And we're 160 years past that, and we're still struggling in this country. So the question is why? The question is why are we struggling? And we have all kind of psychologists and social scientists and all those things that are giving us a reasons why we're doing that, why we're struggling. So emancipation, I'm looking up the word, and I like looking up the origins of words and what they mean and see how they're being applied today and to see if we really understand what's going on. So let's look at the word emancipation. To free from restraint. control or the power of another to free from bondage, right? To free from any controlling influence. So when you look at that, you say, oh, were we really emancipated? And who is the object of that verb? Emancipate is a verb. And for those of you that might have a working knowledge of English, you know, if you took English in high school and you learned the types of words, what is the verb, noun, pronoun, adjective, whatever. If any English teachers in the audience, you can press one and help us through this thing. But so emancipate is a verb. And who is the verb acting on? Is either a noun, or it might even be a descriptive adjective or something like that. But the actor is a noun. So who is emancipating? Who is the person that's, and the idea is they emancipated us. So whoever they are, that's the noun. That's the actor. So we sure didn't emancipate ourselves. So to be emancipated already says that you're in a lower status, right? You're in a lower status. And then think about that. Were we really free of any controlling interest? And I'm being told that we have a caller. Let me go back to Brother Henry, and I do appreciate you helping us out here. Go ahead and bring in the caller online, please, sir.
All right, area code 972467. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you calling from.
Thank you. Ishmael family from Dallas, Texas. And just real quickly, I just wanted to talk about the etymology of emancipate. And it says the act of liberating a child from parental authority. That's the etymology of that word. I just wanted to add that. Join the program.
Thank you very much, brother. What can I say? Thank you very much, brother. Releasing a child from parental authority. All right? So, I mean, just based on that, we were children. We were always, well, I'm going to take it even further than that. We were not human children. We were no better than animals. We were treated like animals. And so, again, the mere fact that using that word shows that we came from an inferior position. And when you look at the free from any controlling influence, also admits that we really were not emancipated because I'm not sure if we've been free from any controlling influence at all, even today. Let's go to the phone lines and see. Do another call on the line. Bring them on board.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Yes, sir.
Brother Yaki Abdullah Lee from Albert, New York, Yusuf Shah Islamic Center. How are you, my brother?
I'm great, brother Yaki. Good to hear from you, man.
Yes, sir. It's good to tune in. Always a pleasure. I always enjoy your programming, brother. I was told that the word emancipate doesn't actually mean freedom. It means, or what it meant for us was the transference of power. So, I mean, from my own estimation, it numbers the power that the slaveholders had over us, the slave masters had over us, was transferred to the government. So, you know, that was in, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that was Automatics who actually had said that to us. So, but anyway, I just wanted to add my two cents in, brother. Appreciate you. I'll be tuning into the rest of the show, inshallah.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much, sir. Well, when you look at that, really, back on the plantation, the government really didn't help us. So the government was the tool, the official tool for the slave master. Even though you had some states that didn't want to participate in slavery or whatever, they could not do anything to upset the system when the states that did want to do that, right? And they said, under states' rights, we have the ability to treat these three-fifths human people any way we want to, right? So let's look at it today. So today we have a government that has exerted its influence, the federal government, to step in to help us in their estimation, to help us. And I say that very loosely because I'm not sure if it's help or not. But they step in to help us. And when they do, it's attacked. Right? The government is attacked. And that's what you see today. A lot of that today is the government is trying to enforce, in their estimation, the Constitution to protect the rights of citizens. And you have some that don't want that to happen. So, I mean, if we don't take advantage to protect ourselves, why should we expect the government to do that? And if the government does it, then that violates one of the definitions of emancipation, to be free from any controlling influence. So the government steps in and does things, and we still are not free from any controlling influence. We're still not doing that because we won't step up and do for ourselves. I mean, do for ourselves. We won't step up and do that. We won't step up and take charge of our own selves. And we're dependent upon the government to step in to do for us. Right? And I'm not being overly critical of the government. Now, don't get me wrong now. Don't get me wrong. And I do hope the government continues to protect our rights when it comes to our citizenship rights. Because you know that there's a lot of influence out there that don't want us to get anything of rights. And they'll take advantage of all the government rights that benefits them, but they don't want any government rights to benefit us. And that's what's crazy about the whole thing. All right? That's what's crazy about it. But the bottom line is, it is time for us to step up and take advantage of the rights that we have. Right? It's time for us to do that. It's time for us, in a big way, to say, hey, if this is the way you want to be, then this is what we have to do. I mean, I wish your business today would make a decision to not give us or try to restrict our movement. I mean, if there's a business out there that don't really want our business, I'm not one to say go march against them to make them want our business. I'm just saying that's fine. There's plenty of other businesses that do want our business. They do want to treat us properly. And believe me, I forget, they have a term for that. I forget what the term is. But there are a lot of businesses that would gladly accept that. And we come to that point where some businesses don't want to take certain social positions because they might turn a segment of their supporters off. And there are other businesses that don't mind because there's enough in our pocketbooks as African Americans. There's enough money in our pocketbooks that will make the difference of a company being profitable or not profitable. Right? And there are enough others that support our position that would join in and doing the same. So we have to learn how to do that. I mean, that's where it becomes important for us as a people, that we become self-sufficient in our thinking and self-sufficient in what we do. All right. So I was listening to a lecture by Imam Muhammad, and he made some excellent points. And let me also say, I want to thank Brother Henry for stepping in, because I had internet trouble this last 14 hours. Had internet trouble. So when I prepare a program, I'm preparing it. A lot of it saving documents, saving websites, saving on my cloud drive. So I have a lot of research on the cloud. So when I can't get to it, it puts me at a serious disadvantage. So for some reason or other, my internet's not working. It has been working since yesterday around 3 o'clock p.m. So when I came home, I couldn't do my research. I couldn't access the information that I stored away. And I cannot work the board. So Brother Henry stepped up I'm going to thank Henry for doing that. And if my program is not as smooth now as it's been, it's because I can't access my document. I can't access anything, and because I can't access it, I have to kind of wing it, not wing it, but go from memory and try to remember some of the things I wanted to mention. So anyway, I'm also going to rely a lot on you and the audience. So that's why I appreciate the people that press one and get that information. I want to do that. But in the lecture, I'm going to see if I can access it and play it. I do have some ability to get to things on my iPad, but my iPad don't work the way my desktop does, so I'm kind of limited. So I'm trying to upload a file right now, and then rather than paraphrase the man Muhammad, I'm going to let you listen to what he said. All right? So, Brother Henry, while this is doing this, go ahead and play a PSA if you can, please, sir. And your choice on it. And we'll come back after the message and continue the program.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you. Just 12 years
old. Hi, I'm Sebastian Maniscalco, and my grandfather passed away from Alzheimer's disease in 2005. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a national nonprofit agency that's here to help. If you or someone you love has questions about the disease, need someone to talk to, pick up the phone. Call Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Don't be embarrassed. They're here to help you. Call 866-232-8484. Don't forget.
All right, we're back. This is Adam B.R., your host of Money Sense here on the M360 on this Thursday morning, July 20th. And we're just having a casual conversation. One thing I did want to touch on, when I listened to the end of the previous program with Brother Henry and Dr. Jamal, and one of the things that was discussed, was African-American candidates. Now, I've always had a position that we can elect them, but we can't keep them. In other words, they're our candidates when we put them in office. But now that you see how the political process works, and how much money is in it, we can't keep them because we can't pay them. There is no PACs or other groups that are taking positions that can put money into their campaign coffers. We don't have that. And on a local level, I say the same thing. We can elect them. But if they don't have any kind of moral compass, if they're not committed to helping our community, after 6 months, they're gone. They ain't ours no more. After 6 months. And the Caucasian knows that. So I'm here on the local level, and I'm seeing the things that are being done. Locally, we're getting ready for a race for the city government, the city council, the mayor. We got a few state house positions that are opening up. All right. So the fallow season ends on Friday. We have an African-American mayor. This is the end of his third term as mayor. I think third term. I think so. And already, we have two African Americans that are running for mayor. Now, that's their right to do that. And I know both of them. And my question is, why are you running for mayor? Knowing we're coming off the heels of an effort to dilute the African-American presence on the city council in certain city positions. We just came off of that fight. So they have two people running. I don't think either one of them have a chance, but that's not the purpose of them running. The purpose of them running, if you haven't figured out, is to dilute the black vote, to split the black vote. So we got the last 2 days of filing season. And let me say for the record, it wouldn't surprise me if between today and tomorrow, a Caucasian runs for mayor against them. So you got three African Americans to divide the vote, and the Caucasian run down the middle. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's politics 101. But the problem is, I can't use Ray Charles' statement because he passed, so I'm not going to do that anymore. But the problem is, it should be painfully obvious what's going on. And it should be painfully obvious to the individual. In other words, who convinced you to run for mayor? And I guarantee you, they were convinced by somebody that don't look like us. You should run for mayor. Anyway, so that's what we're dealing with in politics. We don't know the game well enough. And we don't have the money to play the game well enough. And we don't have the sense to know when you're being played. There's one person that's running for mayor, African American, was a county commissioner. And somebody convinced him in the last election, somebody convinced him to run for Congress. Well, in order to run for Congress, he stepped down as county commissioner. And because he did that, we have three African American county commissioners. Now we got two. Because somebody convinced him to do that. So we don't have the sophistication enough to be able to see the games that are being played and to counteract it. It's not hard to counteract it if you're awake and aware. It's not hard at all to counteract. But for some reason or another, we get played every time. For some reason or another. And not saying it's like that all over the country, but it's like that in smaller areas. It's like that. And they're always doing those types of things. So, but Brother Henry, that should be an interesting discussion if you have it. And I definitely would tune in because we need to have that. Now,
yeah, that is one, and it's a kind of an age-old thing, Adam, that has been happening. We've been figured, say, well, the person, they seem to be pretty good when they're running. They, you know, nowadays when we run over on the same thing. We want anything, we can get you free. And because our people bought into that a while. But once they get there, they don't deliver on anything. And it's just like it never was their intent. And that's the part that's disturbing to me. I can see having a fight and losing it, but they don't even want to fight now. And that ain't everybody. We still got some good people there, regardless of their race, that fight. But they seem to be in the minority at this time. So we do need to address that issue. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, we will.
We need to find out. You know, we need to find out. Just like here locally, we've established a black caucus. This is only to the Democratic Party, but a black caucus. And I'm hoping that the black caucus can be the entity that steps up and weaves all that out. I mean, we should meet with the candidates and discuss with them and bring it to their attention. Because like that, and I'm going to tell them, if a Caucasian becomes a mayor under that move you just did, I'm going to hold you responsible. You follow? I'm going to
mm-hmm.
hold you responsible.
Yep.
Because you got played under your ego. Or under your, you know, they had a discussion on all about courtship and marriage and Sister Manure, and she discussed the term narcissism. And narcissism is a big problem. Right. And there's a lot of narcissistic behavior, and it's coming. It's coming from candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the chief narcissist is out there every day. I call him the chief narcissist because he's the one that is all about him. He's more important than anything, you know. And they're taking him to court. They've got lawsuits against him, but they're persecuting him. You know, they're doing it because they don't want him to be successful. And that kind of language and behavior goes a long way. It goes a long way, but we consume a lot of time on that kind of mentality. But that kind of mentality exists in the environment. That goes back to, I remember one brother called up on the show and said his grandson, it's a Muslim brother, he said his grandson, when he was trying to get his grandson to volunteer to work in the community, and his grandson said, "What's in it for me?" Henry, can you imagine somebody saying that back in the first, in the FOI days?
But it seems to be, Adam, it seems to be the general environment now. Even the candidates that's running now, that maybe they didn't grow up from that son to adult now. That's exactly what they're saying. What in it for me? And they don't look at the overall benefit is whether you're going to lose anything as long as you can show a benefit to me. So that is a general problem that we got here, because the people we say we represent, we don't represent them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something mm-hmm. in it that I can get out of it, then I go with that, and it doesn't matter whether or not. You know, here in Alabama, they redrawing some of the lines, and the courts now to that stage where the courts got to prove it. Based on our population, we should have at least two districts that is with the majority of African Americans. Of course, we don't, and now the people who are in charge, you know how it is, the Democrats in charge, they try to draw it favorable to Republicans. So we got a Republican state, and of course, you know, in the U.S., because this is for the U.S. Congress district. We can't seem to get together. The last one they tried to get approved was a community that they had a large population of African American, but you know, the statistics stated that most of them couldn't vote, so they didn't have a large enough population of voters among African Americans that would make a difference. So they tried to stretch that out, and I understand strategies. But when you start taking strategies at the detriment, and I mean, that's nothing new, you know, that's an age-old thing of what people do. You're going to get some rulers that's going to be for the people, and you're going to get some rulers that's for themselves, or leaders, I should say, that's for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I guess when it comes to that, it don't matter the color of the person, if they either for the community or they for themselves. And if they for themselves, that's exactly what they're going to do. And now, when you look at leaders, even that go to Congress, they go there maybe as a poor person, usually, and in a few years or a few elections, they got millions of dollars. And you look at the community they represent to see how have they benefited, and you find that they really hadn't benefited at all.
Right.
So that's what we're facing. And the people are going to have to stand up to that, because we've been fooled too many times. And like you say, a person will give up a position that may hurt the community,
more than it helps the community, but for their personal gain, if they think, hey, this position will allow make more money and have more influence to get more money, it don't work because the community is who put them there, and we got to stop putting people. So it's going to really come back down on educating the people that we for years, I would say, that has not been educated. Here in Alabama, especially, that I can state, you know, we depend on our political organizations to tell us who to vote for. So at voting time, when you get ready to go to the poll, and I ran for a state office there in the past, but anyway, the people will come up to you to ask you, you got one of those yellow papers? Who should we vote for? This is on election mm-hmm. day. So that shows you uninformed we are, because we come to the poll not even knowing who to vote for. And when we get there, you know, it may not be the person, if you knew what they represented, that you wanted to vote for. And you end up doing that and then just be miserable for the next 2 to 4 years again. So right. It happens.
Well, the key is, and this is something that I got from Libby Mann, who said in the lecture, that Allah has caused the general environment where we live right now because of actions that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's caused it to, well, He said America's already fallen. I don't know if you remember that mm-hmm. lecture was saying. It's already happened while we watch it. But he said Allah has given us the knowledge to assume the leadership. Right? And that's what the people don't have. They that's where our role should be as Muslims, as followers of the Quran and life of the Prophet, and under leadership of man. That's where our position would be. We should step up in the language that we bring would endear many people to us. They say they'll move out the way and let us go ahead and take the leadership because we're trustful. We're trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have vision, because we have the Quran, right? But in order to do that, we got to get out there and make a stand and make comments. You know, we have to do that and stop being in our homes or whatever. So that means we have to get involved. A lot of
I definitely agree with that. And Brother Adam, you do have a caller online. So whenever you get ready,
okay,
bring him in.
No, go ahead, please.
All right, this is area code 727-741. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to both of you, Imam Adam Biya and Imam Henry Hasib. Greetings of peace. Alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, I want to connect with where you are in your discussion on officers or elected officials and the idea of being in politics and then the education that is necessary for voters to understand. Well, and it has to go back to, as you started with emancipation, the mentality of us all, and I'm including myself, coming up, not understanding. You wake up and you see things happening, and you don't know from whence it started or who decided, and then we go corralled into school, and we read in the books about, you know, the United States government and the whole process of how laws get enacted, how, you know, who sits there and who decides how they have the conversation. But so right here and now, as I am of an age, I look back and I'm going, when I voted in my early 20s and such, no, I wasn't informed. And at the same time, I said to myself, you know, the power is already there, you know, before me. What kind, I voted because it said a responsibility to vote, and you try to read up on, you know, those who are in being elected in your state. But my question now is, do we understand, and this is to everyone, do we understand when we see, when we elect governors, do we understand the power that they have, and then the legislative branch that is over in the state, but we're thinking that the legislators have more power. And when you said someone left from being a commissioner, which is on down the line of leadership, you know, going into the Congress or being representative in the state, it helps, I guess, I'm asking, for us to really fine-tune that education in our local areas, become more active, become involved, well, we have to see what steps do we take to become involved. Beyond being informed, what's the next step? And I'll stop right there because of the, you know, the activities in the neighborhood are very important.
Yes, ma'am. Well, if I might attempt to answer that, I remember when the imam first assumed the leadership of the then Nation of Islam. And in the Nation of Islam, there was an idea that we don't join the dead. Remember that, Henry?
Yes, that's very much.
Don't join the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were an aloof community. I say aloof because we didn't want to get involved in things. We had our own way of doing things, and we stayed apart. So I use the word aloof, and only from, I guess it's kind of negative in the way it sounded, but it means removed or distant,
mm-hmm.
either physically or emotionally. And we were distant physically. It wasn't emotionally. I mean, we did care for our community. We did care for the black community, but we didn't join them. So, and then Imam came in and reversed that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And get involved.
And Adam, if I can say this.
Yeah.
And it was never the intent of Imam Muhammad to disconnect us from the community, but with the freedom and the way we took the new freedom that we said that came under Imam Muhammad, because now he said, no, we shouldn't have a community of making a person sell the paper, or to make a person do these things, it should be on their own free will. And we, I think we took that as it's time for vacation, it's time for play, you know. Let's not be as serious as we were. But the results now from the way we took it is we are less engaged in the community than I think we have ever been. We didn't got into these things. Now even want to build a bigger, I don't want to say church, but a bigger masjid. You know, that's our concentration. And I get into a lot of trouble down here because I say, well, hey, we got community right around us. If we show concern for them and not that, hey, if we do this for you, you got to do this for us. No. There's no compulsion as we teach. There's no compulsion in religion. Don't say, hey, you know, I'll feed you if you become a Muslim. No, that you can't have that attitude. But if you look out for people, look out.
Yes, sir. Henry, that's not, that's not quite what I was leading to.
All right, so okay.
I'm trying to get
all
back
right.
to
we'll, it. We'll say that one for another day.
Well, no, what we were under the Nation of Islam. We didn't join the NAACP. We didn't join community groups. We didn't get involved in anything. That's what I meant by aloof, right?
Wow.
So Imam says specifically, in other words, he said, go out and join the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and get involved in community. He said, by nature, the cream will rise to the top. That's what I heard the Imam say. That's what I remember. So when I heard that, I started getting involved in community stuff that we didn't do under Nation of Islam. That's what I mean. So
right.
I got involved in let's say, political committees and organizations and stuff like that. I volunteered for stuff. And I moved to Fayetteville in 84. I don't know when I moved to Fayetteville. That. In 1984, when I moved to Fayetteville. I started getting involved in stuff like I joined the Human Relations Commission. I joined the Airport Commission. I became a member of the airport. I started getting involved in that.
Right.
And because of that, I was able to meet people and meet with and share ideas and things of that nature. And then when I became the imam, I told them, hey, I'm not the only Muslim in town. Because everybody started wanting me to join this and join that. I said, y'all go out there and get involved in stuff. And we had a sister that joined the Human Relations Commission. She became a member of the Human Relations Commission. We had other Muslims that got involved in things. And from that point, people started knowing us as a community. That's what I meant in terms of
getting involved. I agree.
You know, understand? So if you do. So, because the Martha was asking for a formula, that's what I would recommend. If you got the word, if Islam is so great, I'm not saying you're going to the Human Rights Commission to be a Muslim. You're going to be a citizen of your town.
Right.
And start
right.
Sharing
exactly.
Ideas. I didn't go there teaching the Quran or quoting the Quran. But if you understand, I learned from Imam Muhammad that you can quote the Quran without saying you're quoting the Quran. You follow me? You can do it. Just giving the Quran a concept without putting any specific label on it. You understand? I know when I had a radio program, I was on there and I was interviewing a politician. And he was extreme. I told him, I said, man, you make me sound like a good Christian. Right? Because he was so extreme. Right? And I was speaking of the part of Christianity that did have truth in it. And most of my audience was Christians. And they agreed with me. They preferred to hear me than him. So you get involved in that, and then you'll have influence. And they'll want to know more about it.
I definitely agree with you there. And that is what's needed. And I guess I went about it in another way, but that was really what I was trying to say, too. And I did the same thing, Adam, after the imam said that, I'm still involved in them today. And matter of fact, that was the reason I ran for a political office was that. But I even tell the Muslims, I say everything I say that I'm talking about, I say is Islam. Now you may not never hear me, and when I say something different, then I'm gonna tell you this is from Henry, this ain't it. But I say when I go there, and they agree with it. I mean, the outer community, when you deal with it like that, they agree with it, and then guess what? They'll be using it.
Mm-hmm.
I have preachers and all right now, and all I do is just sit back and smile. It'll be another time, sometime in 6 months later, and the thing I said, they don't say I said it. They just use it, and then I say, wow, that's what it is. They can influence more people than I can. So, and that's the way it works. I see that is a solution for this formula that we're talking about. So I agree with you 100% there.
Exactly, and that's how the influence is come about, without actually doing it. You have that influence. You put the language out there, right? And they'll pick up the language because it's universal. So, and I learned that from Imam Muhammad. Listen to how many times the Imam talked. And he didn't preface what he was saying and point with the Quran. When he does the public address, he just said, but if who are students of the Quran, if their heads on right and without prejudice, they would hear the Quran all in it. Of course, you get some that are detractors of what we're trying to do. They never hear the Quran. You understand?
Right.
But they got their own. They got their own agenda. You know, they have their own agenda, and they ain't about truth. So that's what we have to do. And pretty soon we'll have that kind of influence. And people want to know more about it, right? They will know, want to know more about it. And eventually we can invite them to, hey, come to the masjid or come here or whatever. And the preacher uses it because he's worried about you taking his flock. So he figured he better drop a little stuff on there before his followers start going over to the masjid.
Adam, I got a little story on that, but I don't know if we got it. Well, I'll tell you the summary of it. I was invited by the men. They were supposed to choose a speaker for Men's Day, right? And so they was choosing a speaker. They chose me to speak there because, like you say, because of the things that I talk about in there, which is Islam. But it makes sense. I thought we had that problem. Hopefully, Brother Kareem will take care of that, hopefully. Say we got 90 seconds before we go off the air. But anyway, the preacher got it before I did, and boy, he was speaking negative against me. And I know not to go into another man's house trying to destroy him. So I spoke for the few minutes I did, and then when I finished speaking, the preacher got up, and he said, "Did y'all hear what the brother say?" Oh, man, I was his best friend after that. So they do be expecting that, and we can't live up to their expectation. We got to show them better than what they would think we would show them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Henry, I appreciate you sitting in. Hopefully, inshallah, my internet will be working next week. Well, it's going to be working.
Inshallah.
Even if I had to drop this.
Well,
drop
if it's not, we'll do it again.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Yeah. You guys take it out. We're getting ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan, who comes up next. And his topic is, hold on a second, let me give this topic. Deconstructing economic news. So thank you for this, Adam B. I will be on again next week, next Thursday, 8:00 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on AM 360. And assalamu alaikum. And Henry, thank you. You're going to put
You're
on
welcome.
The PSA. We're out of here.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Mark Shaheed, the host of the CWSC Roundtable.